It is indeed a blessing we should never take for granted that we're able to be together and to worship God and to understand His will for our lives and to receive encouragement from one another, and especially to be strengthened and encouraged by the truth that God gave His Son for us. We welcome those who are visiting with us, and we would love that your time here will be very well spent and that you will leave here encouraged to know more about God, His Son, and His Word. You know those kiddie rides that are at amusement parks or carnivals where maybe the kid is placed into a pretend car or train or airplane, and there's usually a steering wheel or a yoke for the airplane, and there are little buttons to push as if there's a control panel. And it's like the kid thinks that they are driving the car or flying the plane. And they're not. And it's cute. You know, they really turn it and twist it and push the buttons, and they really are excited about it. I'm sure there's a certain point where kids reach a certain age and they realize, okay, I'm not controlling this. They still like to get on those things and ride them. They're older kids, but they realize, okay, I'm pretending to drive this car or truck or fly this airplane, but I'm really not. It's a machine. It's a track that's controlling it, not me. That's a hard realization about life. We experience it over and over and over, that how little control at times we have over things. And there are certain things over which we have no control. And that we come to the realization that life often is a ride. We're on it, wherever it may go. Yet there are some crucial things we do control. Our own attitude, our choices. And there is something that I want you to think about with me today, and that is we control what or whom we trust. So we are on the eve of a new year, and there are indeed all kinds of bright possibilities about a new year. And there will be people who will be celebrating all day and well into the night, into the wee hours of the morning, thinking that this next year will be better than ever, that all kinds of just a boatload of wonderful things will happen to them. Well, there are some possible good things that can happen in 2018. But there are a lot of unknowns. Who really knows what next year holds? Good or bad? Or what combination of both? The future is indeed a fog bank. You can only see so far. But the way life works, we have to press on into it. So I want you to consider with me this morning three passages from the Bible that are about trusting God that can really help us as we step in to the fog of a new year. These are very fundamental passages. The first being in Proverbs 3. The wise man writes, beginning in verse 5 to verse 8, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." We first of all must embrace the truth that God knows all things and God knows best. We may know this in theory, but living this is a different thing indeed. This is a very humbling thing for us, and we often resist it, that God knows all and God knows best. From the beginning, we humans have been resisting this. It's at the heart of our great rebellion to God, that somehow there are things that we know regarding our own life that we know best. and is contrary to the will of God. In the coming year, there will be many times in which we will wrestle with this. And it will come down to a matter of trust. There will be times when our own thinking will run counter to what God's will is. Will we trust Him? There will be times when we have no clue what to do and we're tempted to despair. Are we going to trust Him? There's a very unique balance that you actually see in the Proverbs. The Proverbs from which we just took this reading, as well as the Bible in general. The Proverbs, think about it, they're dedicated to teaching a young man how to be wise. In other words, how to have good thoughts, how to have wise judgments, how to be a good thinker. We are to develop, as Christians, the best possible judgment, and then exercise that judgment. We're to be trained by the Word of God. We're to apply the Lord's perspective on things. We're to develop godly, sound judgment. This is part of maturing as a Christian, to adopt the wisdom that's from above. And while as a Christian we are to be developing this sound, good, wise judgment, of which the Proverbs in so many parts of the Bible train us to do that, at the same time we're to have a very strong, healthy suspicion of our own judgment. You may think you know the route somewhere, but just in case, you get the map out and you look at it. You may look at this contraption that you get out of a box and you think, well, I know how to put this together, but you think, well, I'm going to look at the directions so I'll do it the right way. There's a balance between having this growth in our judgment, but at the same time, as we're growing in our judgment, to be suspect of it, to challenge it, to test it. Many of a person has thought and acted selfishly and thus sinfully, all the while thinking they were doing what they thought was God's will. The classic line is that, well, God wants me to be happy. And if I go this route, this is going to make me happy, thus this must be what God wants me to do. In fact, that's just man's old sin of elevating one's own judgment over God's judgment. It's rebellion, and it leads to destruction. We have to be always asking ourselves the question, am I getting this right? Is this the right way that I'm seeing this? I think this is the wise, best path, but is it? There's no better plan for the coming year than to be committed to lean on the Lord's guidance, as Proverbs 5 teaches. To not to think that you can figure it out on your own and try to figure it all out on your own. To look for everything in the Bible that can give you instruction and principle and perspective on all that you're facing. To pray for help when it comes to this. To pray for God to give you wisdom and guidance. And to listen to godly people. Not just anybody, but people who have God's perspective, whose thinking and lives reflect biblical ways, who have an eternal perspective, and they have the fruit of that. That's how we can turn toward the Lord and trust in the Lord and not trust in self. The next passage I want you to consider are from the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, where He says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I think we ought to take that statement right there and just, like a big old fat hen over the eggs, just set on it. Just let that just seep into our thinking. There are anxieties and troubles which we face. But this passage is teaching us how to manage them. And that is one bite at a time on a daily basis. Now, there's a context here. In the sixth chapter of Matthew, we see back in verse 32 that Christ says, "For the Gentiles seek after all these things." Now, what's he talking about here? He's just been talking about being concerned about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. He's talking about the basic physical necessities of life and an obsession and an anxiety about those things. And he says here, he says many things here, that God's going to take care of you. He takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. He's going to take care of you. And then he says in verse 32, "For the Gentiles seek after all these things." That's a person who's not oriented toward God. "And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." You see, that statement right there is telling us something. The heavenly Father knows you need these things. So what he's saying here is that he's going to take care of these things. Do you trust him to take care of these things? Because then he says in verse 33, this directive, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Well, who's going to take care of all these things? The Father is. This is all about trust, is it not? The way to manage anxiety about the physical things we must deal with in life is to remember that the Father knows what we need, the Father provides, and we've got to trust the Father. And then he says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus is teaching in these passages to get our priorities right, get our priorities straight, trust the Lord to provide what we need, and don't be anxious about those earthly things. Now, that is a whole lot easier to say than to do. This is hard not to do. You ever think to yourself, okay, I'm worried about, you know, this next week, or I'm worried about this a month from now, I'm worried about this need and this problem and this, and we say, I'm just not going to worry about it, I'm just going to give it to God and I'm going to be okay. 5 minutes later, what are we doing? We're thinking about it. Sometimes it's 5 seconds. This is a hard thing to do. We have to think ahead. We have to make plans. We have to make provisions as we live this physical life on earth. Regarding finances and our physical basic necessities and our employment and all kinds of things, we have to be responsible people. We have to be intelligent people about how we do these things. We have to focus on them and make these provisions. We have to do this thing. But in the process, it's easy to get pulled into these things becoming a burden, to becoming long-term sources of anxiety. That we're pedaling along on the bicycle, but there's pedaling along on the bicycle, and then there's pedaling along the bicycle thinking, oh no, the chain's going to break. Oh no, I'm going to wreck. Oh no. One thing after another. It's so easy to get pulled into this. It's like a riptide on a coast where you look at the waves and they're coming in, but if you get out in the water, if you don't watch it, if there's a riptide there, there's an undertow that can suck you up under the water and drift you out far to sea, away from shore, and you can perish. These things pull at us. And we've got to make an effort to fight them. What this passage is addressing is becoming overly anxious about physical needs, first of all, and having the wrong priorities, that we become obsessed with those and we're not thinking about the spiritual needs and the spiritual values. And the other thing it's addressing is placing on ourselves the burden of the future. And Jesus is trying to teach us how to manage those anxieties, to take them one day at a time. That is a worn-out expression. One day at a time. That's a worn-out expression. But that does not diminish from its truth and its validity. When Jesus says here, "Sufficient for the day is its own trouble," listen, today is like a wagon. You can only get so much on it. You can't put January 31st on it. You can't put December 31st, 2018 on it, or 2022 on it. You can't put it on it. Today's not made to carry that. Today, we can only handle so much today. And that's all we can do. As Christians, we need to see this in terms of trust in God. Why is it that we take one day at a time? Because the future is foggy anyway. Because we have no control over the future. This is all about us moving forward one step at a time, completely relying on God. You know, you can live by the one day at a time philosophy. And a lot of people do in life who are not geared toward God. You can live by that philosophy, and a lot of people do. Well, I'm just going to worry about today. And it's sort of a Scarlett O'Hare kind of thing. And some people don't remember who she is, but she was famous for saying, "I'll worry about that tomorrow. I'll think about it tomorrow," is what she would say. "I'll think about it tomorrow." And usually it had to do with something that she probably needed to think about right then. It was a current issue that she needed to face, but she just put it off. And so there's one way you can live here, and it's a worldly philosophy, that there's something really important today that I need to address, but I'm just going to put it off to tomorrow. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to put my head in the sand. That's not what this is about. This is different. This is carrying today what you need to carry. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself, but sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You got trouble today? Bear that trouble. That's all you need to carry. And the rest of it, you got to trust God. For this passage teaches us earlier that He will provide for the needs in the future. So here are the elements to this teaching that Jesus is giving us. That the goal is to... God as our goal is to be trusted regarding our needs and our future. What we need and what's going to happen, God's the one to be trusted. And that each day has enough concerns and problems and burdens and anxieties and lists to do and problems to address. And then next tomorrow has its own set, and the next day and the next day and the next day. What we have to do is focus on now and let God take care of the rest. And I want you to consider this. As human beings, that's how we're made. If Christ is teaching us, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Just take care of the trouble today. Bear the burden today. Trust in God for the future. Trust in God for your needs. Then that's the way we're designed to work. And if we try to work another way, we're going to break ourselves. If we try to put tomorrow's load on that wagon, and the next load on that wagon, and the next week's load on that wagon's going to break. We're not designed to bear all of it at one time. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The way to manage it is to let God worry about, take care of, manage, and plan out those future problems and needs. We have to do some planning regarding 2018. We have to make some provisions. But we don't need to bear the load of 2018. Let God have that. There's a statement found in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse 28, where the writer Paul says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose." All things work to good. This reminds us a little bit of a common earthly axiom that says everything's going to work out in the end. People who are not believers in God, who don't follow the teachings of the Bible, they'll say things like that. "Oh, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to work out in the end." It doesn't always work out in the end. If by that you mean that whatever is troubling you now is going to be fixed and solved, never to be troubling again, that somehow everything's going to be made right. What is this about? Well, first of all, this is a promise made to God's people, not to anybody else. Second of all, it says all things. What are these things? And we'll look at the broader context in a moment. But it's talking about the things of life. The developments of life, the things that are unfolding, the events, the circumstances that occur. And what things might the new year hold? Some new things, some familiar things, some expected things, some surprising things, some comforting things, some painful things, some good things and some bad things. Isn't that how every year is? But the assurance here is that all that will happen, whatever it is, will work for good if we love God and we live as His called people. And He calls us to the gospel. Now, speaking of famous cinema references, we go from Scarlett O'Hara to Pollyanna. This is not a Pollyanna perspective. That everything's wonderful and good and everything's going to be just fine. It's not that either. This does not mean that the things which will work for good are pleasant or easy or enjoyable. This does not mean that when these things are happening that we will see the good in them. Sometimes we're going through these things and we see absolutely no good in these things. See, that's where this trust thing comes in. This is where we don't lean on our own understanding. This does not mean that we will be able to make sense. Well, if only one day I'll be able to make sense of all this. We may never make sense out of it. But consider what is found soon following this assurance. Where Romans 8 says, as we read a moment ago in verse 28, we know all things for those who love God, all things work together for good. And then he says later in this context, what then shall we say to these things? Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? There's that these things again. All things are going to work for good for those who love God and called according to the purpose. But what shall we say to these things that all this is going to work out? This teaching talks about if God is for us, who can be against us? And then he says down in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is talking about how that if we are secure in our relationship with God through Christ, no matter what, that doesn't change. And that is key to what is promised in this verse right here, verse 28. Because he continues in verse 35 and he says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all things, all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now there's that all things again. What's the all things? Go back. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, and slaughter. But he says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That right there is the completion of this verse 28. I was in a car accident, lost my leg. All things are going to work for you, forget. I'm going to grow another one? No. No. Here's the good that's going to be worked out. That no matter what we face, if we love God and we're the called according to His purpose, through all this, no matter how severe it may be, we still have God. And we're still in the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. And in the end, that's what we're going to have, and that's all that will matter, is God. There's the example of Joseph that is just such a cross-reference for this text. Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers because of their jealousy, who went to Egypt as a slave, but because of his faithful duty to his master, ended up being the steward of Potiphar's house. Only then, after that, to be falsely accused by his wife of improper behavior, and then in prison, and according to when you look at the references, probably 2 years in prison. finally freed because he's pulled out to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And then Pharaoh, because of his great wisdom from God, makes him governor over all of Egypt to prepare for the great famine that was coming. Ends up being the caretaker of all the grain. And then his brothers, this is probably about 20 years later, his brothers, in trying to save the family up in Canaan, they come down to Egypt to buy grain, and guess who they have to see? They have to see this governor of Egypt to do that, whom they do not recognize who he is, but he recognizes them as his brothers. And after a series of events, finally it is all uncovered, and Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And he says to them in Genesis 45 and in verse 5, God sent me before you to preserve life. He then says in verse 8, so it was not you who sent me here, but God. Now here's the deal on that. When Joseph was being dragged off to prison in that Midianite caravan, and he looks over his shoulder for the last time at his brothers, his mean, heartless brothers, thinking, as he's got to think, that's the last time I'll see Canaan, and I won't see my brother Benjamin, and I won't see my dad ever again. Do you think he's thinking, oh, this is going to work out great? When he's standing in the slave market in Egypt, and some stranger's going to walk up and purchase him, do you think he's thinking, well, you know, this is all going to be great and wonderful. It's all going to work out really well for me here. This is going to be a great home for me. When he, out of his faithfulness, has served Potiphar and then unjustly thrown into the pit of the prison to rot, do you think he's thinking with great optimism, this is all going so well and it's just going to just, it's all coming up roses? He's not feeling that. He's not thinking that. But we can confidently say, based on the biblical record, one thing Joseph did do was he kept trusting God. And we know he did because he kept obeying God. Because there were choices he had along the way where if he didn't trust God, he wouldn't have made those choices. But he kept trusting God and he kept obeying God. And after all those years and all that fog and all that pain and peril and distress, he could look back over the path and he could say, regarding his brother selling him out of spite into slavery, sending him off into Egypt into slavery, he could say, God did it. God sent me here. It was to preserve life. Why could he do it? Because he trusted God. We're often blind in life's events, and for many of life's events, we'll never get answers. Never. And so it comes down to a matter of trust. Or are we going to trust Him to do good somehow out of this and to keep doing His will? You know, most people are all excited about a new year. And if you're really looking forward to celebrating tonight, you know, in a way that you should celebrate, I hope I'm not putting a wet blanket on this. But most people are so excited about a new year and all the possibilities. But from another perspective, it's easy to be petrified about a new year because of its potential pain and calamities. But that's not healthy either, to be petrified. We shouldn't think that with the coming year we're about to fall off a cliff and panic and be petrified, nor should we assume that we're going to soar like an eagle and everything's going to be wonderful. We don't know what's going to happen. Well, why would we step forward into a new year? Because we love and trust God. And we have His assurance that no matter what happens and how it ends, nothing's going to separate us from the love of God that's found in Christ. And God has a plan to work good from no matter what happens. You know, New Year celebrations are understandable in that people are trying to be optimistic about the days ahead. And it's probably a very good thing to be an optimistic person generally. It's not helpful to be a terribly pessimistic person. But even at that, it's still wishful thinking. Because we have no control over a lot of the things in the future. 2018 is really about a ride. And there will be things that will be happy about the new year, and there will be things about the new year that will not be happy. But by trusting in God, we can step into the future without fear. And we can step into the future without answers. Step right into the fog. Because if we step in trust in God, He'll lead us, He'll care for us, He'll provide us, He'll help us, and He'll bring us finally to Him. Trusting God in God is the very best way to step into the new year. Trusting God is the very best way to press on into the years ahead. Because you see, God was always there. God is here. And God is there in the future. He's always going to be there. The question is, will we be with Him by trusting? We're going to have one more song that Brother Tom's going to lead us in that encourages us to consider our relationship with God today. The past is the past. And the future is way beyond us. But today, what is your relationship with God? And if you've come to the conclusion that you believe in the gospel call, you believe the message that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, willing to confess that, then today you can be baptized into Christ as you turn from sin and begin to live for God in Christ Jesus and make your way toward Him and with Him every step of the way. And the key to trusting, not to lean on yourself, not to try to bear all the burdens, but to trusting and obeying. If you need to respond to the call of the gospel in any way, I want you to do so as we stand and sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thy